namun tiravana jadi.
Can you play the card bells?
Yamun tiravana jadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev.
Prabhupada ki jai, Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki Nithai Gaur Premanandi. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we'll be discussing from the 9th canto, chapter 9, text 47. Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Eva Cha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Text 47. Ateshu Maya Rachiteshu Sangam Ateshu Maya Rachiteshu Sangam Guneshu Gandharva Puropameshu Rudham Prakrityatmani Vishvakartur Bhavena Hitva Tamaham Prapadye Ateshu Maya Rachiteshu Sangam Guneshu Gandharva Puropameshu Rudham Prakrityatmani Vishvakartur Bhavena Hitva Tamaham Prapadye. Please chant. Thank you. Ata, therefore, Ishamaya, by the external potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rachiteshu, in things manufactured, Sangam, attachment, Guneshu, in the modes of material nature, Gandharva Pura Upameshu, which are compared to the illusion of a Gandharva Pur, a town or houses seen in the forest or on a hill. Rudham, very powerful. Prakritya, by material nature, Atmani, unto the Supersoul, Vishvakartu, of the creator of the whole universe, Bhavena, by devotional service, Hitva, giving up, Tam, unto him, the Lord, Aham, I, Prapadye, surrender. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, therefore, I should now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord, and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town, visualized on a hill or in a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things. One must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. When passing through a mountainous region in an airplane, one may sometimes see a city in the sky with towers and palaces, or one may see similar things in a big forest. This is called a Gandharvapura, phantasmagoria. This entire world resembles such a phantasmagoria, and every materially situated person has attachment for it. Kadvanga Maharaj, because of his advanced Krishna consciousness, was not interested in such things. Even though a devotee may engage in apparently materialistic activities, he knows his position very well. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyam Uchite. If one engages all material things in relation with the loving service of the Lord, one is situated in Yukta Vairagya, proper renunciation. In this material world, nothing should be accepted for one's sense gratification. Everything should be accepted for the service of the Lord. This is the mentality of the spiritual world. Maharaj Kadvanga advises that one give up material attachments and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, one achieves success in life. This is pure bhakti yoga, which involves vairagya vidya, renunciation and knowledge. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartameka purusha purana shri krishna chaitanya sharidadhari kripam buddhiryasta maham prapadye. Let me surrender unto this personality of Godhead who has appeared now as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the ocean of all mercy and has come down to teach us material detachment, learning, and devotional service to himself. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated this movement of Vairagya Vidya, by which one detaches himself from material existence and engages in loving devotional service. The Krishna conscious movement in devotional service is the only process by which to counteract our false prestige in this material world. So, we're hearing a beautiful verse here of Kadvanga Maharaj, who is honored throughout the Bhagavatam for having, at the very last moment, given up his attachment to the material world and attained perfection. It is mentioned about him that King Katvanga was unconquerable in any fight. Requested by the demigods to join them in fighting the demons, he won victory. And the demigods, being very pleased, wanted to give him a benediction. The king inquired from them about the duration of his life and was informed that he had only one moment more. Thus he immediately left his palace and went to his own residence, where he engaged his mind fully on the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada says, Maharaj Katvanga engaged himself for only a moment in devotional service to the Lord, but he was promoted back to Godhead. Therefore, if one practices devotional service from the beginning, surely he will return home without a doubt. And he's describing how he was reflecting how dear the Brahmins are. Nothing is more dear to me than the Brahmins. In my childhood, I was never attracted to insignificant things or irreligious principles, but he was focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he rejected any benedictions that were offered. His only interest was to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have a very beautiful verse here today. I'll repeat the translation. Therefore, I should now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord and thus surrender unto Him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things. One must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is the essence of all instructions, actually. This is the advice that we're given in Krishna consciousness. And it's been nicely summarized here in one shloka. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things. One must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, unless one gives up attachment for the material realm, they can't actually surrender. Surrender comes about when one has to understand the durashaya nature of this world, that this is a false shelter. This is a place where, wherever we put our faith in this material world, it gets cruelly taken away from us. We have so many expectations and hopes for happiness in the material world. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Part of it, the aspect of Bhakti Yoga, means to realize the futility of expecting lasting happiness in the material world. And even as devotees, or we call ourselves devotees, that we still have a lot of hopes, actually, for enjoying this material realm. And to the degree that those attachments are very prominent in our consciousness, to that degree our ability to really take advantage of what the Lord wants to offer is compromised. I'm just going to read this translation again. So he's saying every conditioned soul has a natural attraction to this material world. Why? Because we want happiness. We're all seeking some sort of rasa in our life. We're seeking actually happiness. Because the soul is anandamayo byasat, the soul is always hankering after that original happiness that we have with Krishna. That happiness which is so extensive and complete that it shuns or brings to a pity any other of the material happinesses that are available. But because we've forgotten that, therefore we are more or less cursed to struggle in the material world to keep seeking that experience. Maharaj Parikshit, his name means the examiner. So he received a darshan of the Lord within the womb, and he was so thrilled by that experience. What can compare to actually seeing personality of Godhead? Once one sees a tattva darshi, one sees the absolute truth, then he is permanently more or less detached from the material world. He is permanently attached to Krishna. So he received that darshan. Therefore, the whole rest of his life, he was going throughout the material world just examining, seeking that same, where is my Lord? And he conquered the whole world. He was emperor of this whole planet. But his, in that core of his heart, he was always hankering simply after that vision. Beautiful, bluish, young boy, Krishna. So he set an example that this real happiness that we're seeking, we can't find in this material energy. I should give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction, attachment for material things. One must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the real bliss, the real happiness that we're looking for, that's with Krishna. Nothing in the world can satisfy us. And this Gandharvapura, a city in the clouds, that's actually this material world. We were driving downtown yesterday to see this nice movie. And this is how people are trying to enjoy the illusion. We understand philosophically, okay, this world is illusory. But that type of meditation has to rise to take a prominent position in our consciousness so that all the time we are aware that what I'm looking at is not actually the reality. What I'm looking at is simply the Gandharvapura, or the town created by the material energy. These are illusory forms generated through false ego. And as the famous example we give of the Matrix, where people here have seen that movie, The Matrix. Yes, some. Great movie, philosophically. The Matrix is an ideal example that actually describes this material world. It was the directors were studying Eastern philosophy. And you plug in, they plug you into the Matrix, and you enter this realm that is not actually the reality. So this material world, our vision, basically we want to see with our eyes. But seeing with our eyes is not the way to understand reality. Our eyes, all of our senses, are products of material false ego or ahankar. Right? When the pure spirit soul desires to enjoy separately from Krishna, then immediately he is awarded the material gross and subtle body. He is more or less injected into material nature through the Lord's different energies, specifically Lord Shiva. The glands impregnates this material nature, and therefore these material elements begin to differentiate. And the first element that comes is the ahankar, false ego, which is so subtle that we can't detect it. We all have false ego. We all have a big false ego. But we're unable to actually perceive that because we're under the influence of it. Only someone who is free can help relieve us from that. So then from the false ego generates, when false ego comes in contact with the mode of goodness, it generates our mind. When it comes in contact with passion, it generates our intelligence. And when it comes in contact with the mode of ignorance, it generates our gross senses. So our entire material vehicle that we have is a product of false ego. That means it's not actually who we are. It's not actually substance. It's not actually reality. But it's our matrix body, so to speak. So then you're in the matrix, but you're thinking that that's the reality. You're thinking that I am so-and-so das. I am this. I'm a brahmachari. I'm whatever. I'm a mataji. I'm a prabhu. These are all Gandharvapuras. This is part of the imaginary town into which we are. So we have to train ourselves by studying the Shastra So that we can understand, if we take a look outside, that this is not actually reality. This is still in that realm of illusion. So why is that so important? Because until that gets deeply rooted within our chitta, or our consciousness, then we continue to get bewildered. And our energy has to be put in one basket of pure devotional service. But if our consciousness keeps getting diverted, oh, well, what about out there? It looks so attractive. Look, all those people are enjoying. The material world has the glitter. It's described as the glitter of material nature. It's very continually beckoning us. Maya is saying, come and enjoy. So unless we can dissect it, see it for what it is, then our heart is still attracted materially. And then Krishna says that, Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam tayaparhita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samado navadiyate. The resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. Right? If one's attracted externally to material sense enjoyment, sense gratification, then the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. So that is the training that we are we require to undertake in order to achieve pure bhakti yoga. And that is recommended here by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada says, this is pure bhakti yoga, which involves vairagya vidya, renunciation and knowledge. And this is a verse given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he understood the actual identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartam eka purusha purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya sharira dhari kripam buddhiryas tamahambhajami. Excuse me, tamahamprapadye. Let me surrender unto the personality of Godhead who has appeared now as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the ocean of all mercy and has come down to teach us material detachment, learning, and devotional service to himself. So to become more renounced, this is a good thing in devotional service. Gradually we can measure, how it says you can measure your advancement by how much your material attraction, your material fever, your material lust is going down. So we need to strive to be exemplars of that in our own life, in our own practice. And that will protect us and protect our society from so many material allurements, either gross, in the form of gross material sense gratification, or in our society, in the form of subtle impurity that prevents the further expansion and purification of our movement. So Srila Prabhupada says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated his movement of Vairagya Vidya by which one detaches himself from material existence and engages in loving devotional service. The Christian conscious movement of devotional service is the only process by which to counteract our false prestige in this material world. This is a movement of Vairagya Vidya, which one detaches himself from material existence. And this is the only process by which to counteract our false prestige in this material world. So based on that false ego, then we have this false prestige, sense of I deserve something. It really pervades all of our activities. What is the false ego? The false ego is the substance that Krishna awards the soul who wants to forget him in order to make him think that he, the insignificant jiva, is actually very great and he doesn't need God. So it's a very subtle conception that one thinks one is always trying to put themselves in God's position. This is the subtle nature of false ego. Real ego, or the purity, means understanding I'm insignificant. Krishna is the controller. He's the enjoyer. I'm his eternal servant. I'm nothing. Krishna is everything. False ego is the exact opposite. It's the inversion of that. It's the material shadow or the material manifestation, which means I am great. I am God. Everyone should worship me. Everyone should serve me. There's no one else. So this is the nature of the external energy. There's the antaranga, the internal shakti, and the bahiranga, or the external shakti. And they're more or less opposites. It's a reflection, perverted reflection. So the happiness of the material world, trying to enjoy in so many different ways, is the illusory, the perverted way of reality of trying to live. And the more we can cut off that illusion and reinstate ourselves in Krishna consciousness, striving to understand what is reality. So in order to understand better the material illusion, we have to understand what is it a reflection of? What is the nature of that spiritual world? What goes on in reality, right? You're telling me this is not reality, so what goes on in reality? So then we have to read the Shastra, we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam, read Krishna book, read about this realm of Sat, Param Satyam Dimahi. We're supposed to meditate on the absolute truth. So in that spiritual realm, what goes on there? And then we read these incredible pastimes in Krishna book. We hear about the abode of Krishna, where 24 hours a day, everyone is absorbed in the highest form of happiness because they've achieved, they're experiencing the Lord of their life, the soul of the soul. The real heart is reposed in the deepest loving relationship with their best friend in terms of various different relationships, servitude, friendship, parental, or madhurya, conjugal relationship. This is the real relationship we want to work for. This is where we really want to invest all of our energy or put all of our marbles in this basket. And to the degree we do that, to that degree we'll feel that detachment from material attraction, material involvement. All of the things that we're looking for, we just have to understand it's there in Krishna. Krishna is Raso Vaisaha. He's the embodiment of all rasa. He is the epitome, the epicenter of all joy and happiness, actually, in spiritual relationships. So the activities that go on there, they capture our hearts. They fill us with that sense of awe and wonder. And ideally, it matures to a point of intense attraction. And actually, I want to enter into that sphere. I want to revive my eternal Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada says. I've come not to teach you something new, but remind you what you've forgotten. That you are Krishna's. You have an eternal relationship with Krishna. You have an eternal spiritual form with Krishna, but we've forgotten. So the process is to, by pure chanting the holy name, reawaken that relationship with Krishna, that which we've forgotten. Then real ananda, real happiness can be experienced at every moment. Prior to that, we're still on this journey, the cycle, the struggle, material existence, like Pariksha Maharaj, examining where can I get that experience again? Where can I find that? So that is the great value that the Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada came. That's why we're always glorifying his books, because they are actually the shelter. They are the means. They're the means and the end, just like the holy name. The means is to hear about Krishna's pastimes. The end is to actually realize that knowledge within the books. And from the state of perfection, then one continues to hear and chant. It's not that now he's become Krishna conscious, so he knows. That was a nice quote someone mentioned, that Srila Bhakti Santamar said, what's the difference between our process and other processes? Our process, the means and the end are the same. It's not like that in any other school. In other philosophical missions, generally you engage in a mission and then to reach a goal. But for us, the means and the goal is the same. By chanting, then one doesn't want to ever give up chanting Krishna's name, you know, in ecstasy. That is the jiva dharma. That is the function of the soul. That's the occupational duty of every living entity. When he begins to relish, Krishna is not different from his name. This is how I can directly associate with Krishna. And by the cleansing power of the holy name, all of that is revealed. His the realm of reality and his own nature, That's how powerful the holy name is. That's why this is the Sankirtan movement. And that's why all of our activities are based on chanting the holy name. Whatever we're doing, whatever other services are meant to facilitate our absorption in Harinam. And there's different types of yajna or different types of Sankirtan, but the Maha Nam Harinam Sankirtan is the best. When many, many people come together and they chant with intensity and eagerness the holy name, that is a special benediction given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in which the highest degree of absorption is available. That is to be coupled with our own performance of japa, which is a more impersonal, internal. But in Sankirtan, we come together, and this is why we have to be a model for the whole world, how we can cooperate and live together in harmony based on putting Krishna in the center. That means putting Harinam Sankirtan in the center. Then we can experience loving relationships with each other because they're based on Krishna. You can't have any relationship with another living entity unless Krishna is there in the center. Otherwise, it won't work. It won't be satisfying. It will be exploitative. But if that relationship is based on trying to serve Krishna, then it will be fruitful to the degree that the participants are pure. Then those relationships, we get some rasa. So as devotees, we want to try to make sure that all of our discussions, all of our speech is Krishna conscious as far as possible, to take advantage of the opportunity to hear and chant about Krishna together. There's so many things we can hear and chant and talk about. But if as devotees we utilize our free time and will and speech to speak about other things, then we're missing out. We won't develop that taste for hearing about Krishna. That's how powerful the power of speech is. If we talk about so many other things, then our attachment for those other things increases. If we talk about Krishna, then we'll find it may be a little difficult because we're still relatively beginners. But whatever realization, whatever, however we can put Krishna in our mind, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayat sarva vidhi nishye dasur etai or eva kinkana. The essence of all rules and regulations is to always remember Krishna. Those few words we can speak about Krishna or about Srimad Bhagavatam, that will help us generate attachment for these topics. And so many things we can talk about, so many things we can absorb our mind in. This material world is a giant maze. I used to be really into mazes when I was a kid. I was always drawing a maze. Elaborate mazes. Wow. You could go to a maze. You could go to a real life maze with the bushes and get entangled and get totally lost. That's the material world. So many mazes, so many intricacies. Just to get a cell phone, what to speak of? Have a house or all these things that just paying all these bills and getting insurance. They're all just mazes. But the thing is that they're all dead ends. Krishna's there at the end. The maze always has the beginning, and there's actually a way out also. So you have to go through all those things. Why? So you can get Krishna. And then our journey in this material world is complete. Otherwise, we just get caught. And then you have to try again. So this is a beautiful verse here. It's accenting the importance of renunciation and taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Supreme Lord and should thus surrender unto Him. So to surrender means to think of the Lord. As we mentioned, somehow or other, get that. Krishna is so attractive. It's really not that difficult when we put in the time to get attracted to Krishna. If you dedicate enough energy and time, you will become attracted because He's all attractive. The problem is that we're not putting in the time and effort, so we don't know how attractive, so we're not so attracted. Krishna means all attractive. So when we hear about His activities, His pastimes, His personality, His character, then you will feel in your heart attraction growing. Therefore, Prabhupada says our process is very simple. Our process is simply, it's not like the yogis or the great austerities practiced by other impersonalists. No, just hear about Krishna. Prabhupada says chanting, dancing, feasting. It's so sublime. It's the easiest process because we're the most fallen, so we need the mercy. And the emphasis in the purport Prabhupada is putting on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the ocean of mercy and has come down to teach us material detachment, learning. And so he's come to set the example. So we all have to gear ourselves to try to follow his example. It's not easy. It's funny because it's simultaneously, I just said it's how easy it is. It's simultaneously easy and also difficult. Why? Prabhupada said, because we're not determined. If we can get the determination, then it becomes easy. But to follow in the footsteps of the Gaudiya Acharyas, the Gaudiya Bhaktas, is very exalted. But as we said, the process is simple. The process to hear about Krishna, it purifies us, it inoculates us from other material attachments. So many nice things we could say, but time is also a energy of Krishna, destroys all things in due course. So let us take inspiration from this verse, endeavor to awaken deeper attachment for Krishna, and reduce our attraction, involvement, and complication in the material realm. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
So, in sort of like in the beginning of the teachings that you were saying, you said that there was two different types of ego. Mm-hmm. So, does that mean that ultimately there's a good type of ego? Mm-hmm. So then when people are saying, like, necessarily, like, this person has an ego, it may not be necessarily a bad thing until you understand what they're saying.
Yeah, ego means identity. So there's true ego and false ego. The true ego is, I'm Krishna Das. Jivera Swarupoi Nityara Krishna Das. That I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That is my only identity, actually. So that's the real, as we were talking about, that purified state of consciousness where I am insignificant, Krishna is the supreme controller, I am his eternal servant. That is the real self, identity of the self. False ego is the exact opposite. I'm this body, I'm someone very great and important, everyone should worship me. So the false ego is that material contamination which covers that knowledge of our true ego. So everyone has ego. Our process is not to stamp out the ego. Say, no, you have no identity. That's what Buddhism, most types of Buddhism are more or less trying to do. So the ego is there, but we want to help us uncover the true self, true ego.
So if one was having trouble with that, the best thing to do is just to always remember that you are the servant.
It's to always chant Hare Krishna. Because that will actually awaken that knowledge. We can intellectually remember that and mentally appreciate and meditate on that. That's helpful. But that real spiritual realization will come from the chanting. So both. But basically the Kirtaniya Sadahari, always chanting the holy name. In many places, Lord Chaitanya's teachings, this is given as actually the highest, the best form of meditation. Just always chant. So we all have to try to strive how we can apply that instruction in our life to whatever degree.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Any challenges? I was speaking very strongly. Maybe someone has some doubts. Oh, you're saying this world's such a bad place, but XYZ. So you can challenge also. That's allowed. Yes, Alex.
Thank you for the encouraging class.
Hare Krishna.
And And the purport is explaining this external energy, we must develop a detachment for it. But since you were speaking on the glitter and the attraction and the false allurement of Maya, I'm curious to know, even because Mahaprabhu says this himself, I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for your name.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly feel that way. So I'm wondering, my question is, how can we as the most fallen develop an attachment for the holy name?
We just have to realize we're the most fallen. We can say it, but if we actually feel that by Krishna's mercy, we reflect actually, what am I? Am I some great person? Just look at our past history. Anyone in Kali Yuga, it's embarrassing. It's totally shameful. We should be ashamed. From a Vedic standard, it's totally rejectable. It's actually untouchable. There's actually a name. There's actually a caste for us. It's called untouchable. We're not even meant to be. So we have to see from the Vedic perspective where we're at. What is the great story of our life? The great dynasty that we've come from, our glorious, chivalrous activities. It's unmentionable. We can't even speak it in the Bhagavatam class. So that should make us a little humble. Then we realize, oh, actually I need the mercy. Then you can actually call out and cry for the mercy. Cry that we are the most fallen. And Nityananda Gauranga, they are the most merciful. So if we're sincere, they'll hear us, they'll help us. And that's Mahaprabhu was praying like that in humility. I have no attraction, but we actually have no attraction. So we're even more fallen. We can meditate. I actually have no attraction. We're not even qualified for chanting the holy name, which is, it's like the lowest, you know, rung. You know, the easiest process, we can't even do that. So therefore humility forms a very essential fabric of a devotee's consciousness and ideally pervades all of his activities, and that will protect him and allow him to access the mercy. The mercy flows down like water to the lowest point. The lower we are, the more mercy we can get. But we think, I'm okay, I'm fine, then okay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, okay, he's fine. Let's see if anyone else needs some mercy. So we're not fine. We're very sick. We're very diseased. But the mercy is so powerful that even us can be uplifted. And that's what he wanted to give. So then the highest goal of life becomes very easily available by his mercy. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Kitari Bhu.
I've been meditating on the difference between the spiritual reality and the material reality. And I think one of the most essential aspects and the difference is the harmony and the cooperation. You mentioned those two points, but I feel like these two words and two concepts are the essential difference between the spiritual reality and the material reality. In the spiritual reality, we are, all the souls are working together to please Krishna, so the mood is very pleasing because everyone is cooperating and working and living in harmony with Krishna and with reality. So everyone's putting other people in front of themselves and ultimately putting Krishna in the center, the Supreme Personality in the center of reality. Whereas here we're under the influence of false ego, we're all putting ourselves in the center. So there's no harmony. There's only competition, and that creates anxiety and fear. So learning to cooperate and practicing Krishna consciousness in the society of devotees is like preparing ourselves and training ourselves to go back into that state of harmony and cooperation with Supreme Reality. And Varnashram Dharma helps us raise to the level of cooperation with the laws of reality as well. We engage as a society, we engage everyone in cooperating according to their abilities and putting Krishna in the center and rising up to that level of unity and cooperation, working together to serve Krishna. So just sharing some thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. That's Krishna is the most intelligent, so he knows how to organize better than anyone. So the way he organizes society, we're still, as in ISKCON, trying to implement that. But that is a very scientific, that is how society can really run smoothly. In terms of awakening that non-envious nature that you were describing, that is the quality of the, in the spiritual world, everyone, they're so obsessed with the satisfaction of Krishna that they don't have time to worry about their own, they're not concerned about their own, it's insignificant. So in the material world, we get caught up because we're not, but through hearing and chanting, we gradually increase our attraction, our purity. And by dint of that, then automatically the harmony comes, because as you're saying, that common center. So the emphasis, the Varnashram is there to help us, but within the Varnashram, and the purpose of that Varnashram is to increase the hearing and chanting, because that gives one, that naturally awakens that taste for Krishna by which the envious nature is destroyed or eradicated. So that also is, that's the purpose. And that's the process. Yeah. Jai, thank you for sharing. I think we'll have to end here. Hopefully there's been some thoughts, maybe that some of you may be traveling. You can meditate on any points Srimad Bhagavatam that have maybe influenced you in a positive way. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Tai Gopremana.